Chapter 19. End of Term. It was the last day of term. Classes had finished, and we boarders sat in the lounge, waiting for our parents to take us home for the summer holidays. Eleanor Louie was wearing her good shoes with a 2-inch heels, examining herself in the mirror and fluffing up her hair. I must admit my bangs are rather nice, even if I say so myself, she announced. They certainly look better than your legs, replied Monica unkindly, thereby drawing attention to her own slim, well-shod feet. It was true that Eleanor's legs did appear somewhat fat and beefy in comparison as she tottered around unsteadily on her high heels. The problem is, I love to eat too much, Eleanor said candidly with a giggle. Remember yesterday when we had a discussion on crocodiles in Marmin Valentino's science class? I was wondering how barbecued crocodile meat would taste when Marmin suddenly asked me whether crocodiles have lungs. As long as their meat tastes good, who cares how they breathe? That's why you're such a marvelous cook, her loyal friend Irene Tan exclaimed. Everything is reduced to a recipe in your head. Do you remember that discussion we had in English class on the word serendipity? We all burst out laughing. Our English teacher, Mother Louisa, had just defined the meaning of serendipity as a discovery by accident of things which one is not in search of. Now, girls, I want you to give me some examples to illustrate this word and make it come alive for the class, she instructed. Rachel raised her hand. How about the discovery of America by Columbus? He was looking for a shortcut to the East Indies when he came upon a whole new continent. Very good indeed. Another example, girls? Last Sunday, my dad was telling me about the Korean War, Daisy Chan said. He read in the newspapers that many badly wounded American soldiers were being saved by this medicine called penicillin. 10 years ago, they would all have died. Apparently, an English doctor in London called Alexander Fleming dropped some mold on a plate of germs and noticed how all the germs around the mold got killed. That's how he discovered penicillin, completely by accident. This is another excellent example. Now, do you remember last week's lesson on the word galvanism? Can we combine the two concepts, serendipity and galvanism? The week before, Mother Louisa had said that the word galvanism came from an Italian man named Luigi Galvani, who first noticed a frog's leg muscle twitching when its nerve was stimulated. However, no one knew the answer to the question because she hadn't mentioned what Mr. Galvani was doing with a frog's leg to begin with when he made his discovery. Eleanor, Mother Louisa finally asked, wake up. Do you have a theory? What is the story about Mr. Galvani and his frogs? Oh, Mother Louisa, gushed Eleanor enthusiastically. Frogs' legs are delicious, stir-fried with a little ginger and soy sauce. So tender and juicy. In my dad's restaurant, we have frogs' legs, and I order them every time. Only they're called field chickens on the menu. Same thing, really. She paused briefly and must have suddenly remembered to whom she was speaking. I think Mr. Galvani was eating frog's legs for dinner. Maybe he bit on a nerve by mistake and the leg twitched or something. That's another example of serendipity. Mother Luisa arched her eyebrows while the whole class roared. Amazing! So you have Mr. Galvani chewing on a bunch of twitching frog's legs. She waited for the uproar to die down, then continued. In actual fact, Mr. Galvani was hanging frog's legs by a copper wire from an iron railing at his home. A gust of wind blew the copper wire against the iron railing, and the frog's legs twitched. Without meaning to, he had actually created an electric current. This serendipitous event in the 18th century resulted in the discovery of galvanism. One by one, my fellow boarders left, calling out best wishes and happy summer holidays to each other. Eventually, only Rachel Yu, Mary Sun, and I were left behind. Though I felt a special closeness to these two friends, I was never able to openly confide in them anything about my family. Those were emotions I repressed and hated to even think about, let alone express. Besides, they had their own problems. Mary's father kept a small wife and spent most of his time with his second family. Her mother, though ostensibly his big wife, only saw him on Mary's birthday and Chinese New Year. Neglected and ignored, Mrs. Sun became bitter and quarrelsome. On the rare occasions when he did come home, he and Mary's mother argued constantly. Rachel's parents were separated. Her father, a well-known jockey and horse trainer, saved every penny to keep her at Sacred Heart. She was his sole reason for existence and an investment for his future. But she felt smothered by his expectations. After the hubbub and excitement of everyone's departure, I developed a stinging headache. Even though I had mentioned nothing of my summer plans, all the girls knew I was again the only boarder not going home for the holidays, because I had not bothered to pack. It was hard to be the only one left behind time after time, and I couldn't help feeling sorry for myself. Mary and Rachel were probably staying around deliberately for as long as possible to keep me company. Did they sense my mood? I sauntered out onto the balcony, and they followed me. It was getting dark, and lights were coming on all the way down the slope, across Victoria Harbor and into the peninsula. We could see the giant ships dotting the bay below, and well-lit ferry boats moving smoothly to and fro between Hong Kong and Kowloon. I was seized by a longing to escape. More than anything, I told them, I yearn to grow up, get out of here, and see the world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the three of us could sail away together on one of the big boats down there to all those countries we've been reading about? Japan, England, Australia, America. We must get away, stand on our own two feet, and create our own destiny. Let's make a pact, Rachel said, that we'll always be there for each other, wherever we may be. solemnly. The three of us placed our six hands on top of one another's and made a giant fist.